It's the best you ever heard about, fresher than you heard about. That's right, folks. It's your boy, Dwayne Finley, and you are under the inner into the ether banner. This is our new shit, Cypher Volume 2. I am your host, riding shotgun with me, Dr. Nasty, got the PhD because he found the formula for funky cold Medina. That's right. It is AJ Gooden.
What's up, man? Chilling, man. You know me, man. Keeping it cool.
That's bro.
It's the only way to be out here, man.
That's right. It's cold out in the streets. And AJ be flossing through in that Suburban with his beard oil glistening. Gotta keep it soft, man.
Gotta keep it soft, moisturized, man. Can't be out here with a dry beard, man. It's not a good look at all.
With fresh juices and berries. Coming to America, right?
Nothing but the juices and berries.
And the berries. Yeah, and word is that they're finally making a sequel to that. And I heard Eddie's doing a new Beverly Hills Cop.
He's doing a Beverly Hills too.
SNL. Yeah.
Oh, okay. I didn't hear that one. I heard it coming to America. I didn't hear about the Beverly Hills one. That's what's up, man.
It's big. Yeah, because he's got that new Dolomite movie coming out. It looks pretty dope.
That's big right there, man. That's good. That's big for the culture right there, man.
Absolutely, do man.
Eddie, man. You know, those are classics, man. So you got to do it right.
Well, and that's what I'm saying. If he's going to come back and do it, that's great because they're not trying to reboot it. They're not trying to put... You know, making a new Kevin Hart vehicle, you know, because that's the go down. It's good to see Eddie back on his grind, right. You know. Yes, sir. So, hey, we have a list of topics we're gonna get into. So we're in the no fuck around zone here, and we're also gonna introduce a new segment that will be a part of our show, each and every show, where we talk about the pie of all pies. That's right. Where AJ and I are both pizza dudes, and. That segment that we'll get to that a little later, but we're going to make for all you guys out there. This will be your spot going forward, but where we're going to start tonight, big news coming out of the NCAA, California passed a bill, the pay to play act, saying that the athletes under the NCAA banner can for use of their likeness or image. This is a big deal, you know, because technically, you know, collegiate athletes can never, that's what kept them amateur,
right.
Is that they could not make money despite universities and programs making shitloads off of them. You know, this is big news, man. So AJ, when you heard about California, and then also as of press time, Pennsylvania is trying to pass that act as well. What do you think about this just overall concept about college athletes finally having the chance to make a little money? Is it long overdue? Is there trouble?
I think it's long overdue, man. I feel like now I'm not telling them to pay them millions, but you know, a decent salary where, you know, maybe, you know, these guys, they work hard. They generate millions for their university. So why not pay them, you know, something, you know, hold them over. You know, you're using their images, their likeness. Why not? You know what I mean? I'm not telling them pay millions. I don't think millions to be expected, but at least something. You know, they're late at night, you know, 1, 2 in the morning. At least, you know what I mean? Give them some money in their pocket. They can cover themselves, get something to eat. You know what I mean? You hear that a lot about these major D1 kids, you know, late at night after a long day. You know what I mean? Not unable to get to the, you know, wherever their cafeteria is to get, you know, that free meal, that last free meal of the day, and they're just hungry for the rest of the day. So at least something, you know, to cover.
I'm going to play devil's advocate here because I do agree with you. I do agree saying that, you know, that they do generate just tons of revenue, especially if they're like, you know, from one of the big schools. If we're saying they're football and it's an SEC school, absolutely. But the university looks at it, which is bullshit, but the university looks at it like, hey, yes, we are paying you because you are getting your education for free. So that's 80 grand that you've made.
Right.
So I think it also opens a can of worms, though, because if you're saying, from what I understand, you know, I haven't read the California legislature all the way. Is like these guys are able to pick up sponsorship deals if they're offered. Now, that's not saying the university's coming out like a pay scale, because I think you get a whole can of worms there that if you are paying your players some type of like scale, you know, and obviously superstars are going to make more, but then how do you average that out? I think the sponsorships and shit like that, you can be okay with. I think if EA Sports brings NCAA football back and they use names instead of numbers, then yes, if, you know, if you're put on the cover of that bitch, absolutely in your pocket, you know, but I'm saying if you're, I want a salary for playing football or basketball, I just don't think that's going to happen.
Right. I agree with that. I can agree with that. Like I said, it should be some kick, some type of incentive. You know what I mean? That's how I feel. It should be some type of incentive. I feel like certain sports, you know, generate more than sports. It should be a budget set where those student athletes are receiving some type of incentive. I think that'll balance a lot out. No, we're not going to pay you millions. You're not going to sign this big mega million. You're not a pro athlete yet, but some type of incentive to, you know what I mean, cover them for their likeness and what they do for that university.
And you know, LeBron, I don't know if you saw this interview, but LeBron made a great point on this. He said, you know, obviously, as we all know, the king skipped college and went straight to the pros. But LeBron was saying, he goes, hey, had I gone to Ohio State or somewhere big like that, 23 jersey comes out, it's sold around the world, there's kids all over the place with the LeBron 23 jersey from Ohio State, and I would not, in the current structure, have made a dime off of that. So, absolutely, he's right. So, like, you look at guys like, you know, Kyler Murray or somebody that's hot right now, you know, like, if you've watched All or Nothing on Amazon Prime, you know, they follow it's the two seasons with University of Michigan, and they're showing that Nike every year, like, all the players are so amped up because 1 week a year they'll get their Michigan Nike Jordans, you know, like there's a special edition that only for the players, and you know, they get all of that gear, you know, free shoes, free outfits, free blah, blah, whatever. But, you know, at the end, that doesn't add up. You know, like, you're giving these guys, you know, little freebies, like some kickbacks, but there's some fat cats making fat pockets because every time, you know, Michigan Stadium sold the fuck out for, you know, it's on a national primetime spot. Right. There's just fat cats at university.
They're getting paid, man, like double, triple time for one event. You understand what I'm saying? So, like, even you hear Jalen Rose talk about this all the time. Remember they said they, you know, preseason, you know, teams take trips to out of country to play, you know, in, you know, pro leagues in different countries. And how he's seen his jersey hanging up in like one of the boutiques over there. And he's like, man, I'm not going to see a dime from that. You know what I mean? So he's been talking about that since the Fab Five era, man. So I guess, like I said, some type of incentive, you know, I don't think you should pay them millions, but some type of incentive. They should see something for their hard work, the blood, the sweat, the tears, their body that they're putting on the line for that university, man.
Absolutely. And to take it one step further, one part of the argument that always pisses me off and I always just, it just drives me insane is when you hear somebody, one of the talking heads on ESPN or Fox Sports talking about it, they're always assuming that, you know, hey, you're going to get your payday when you hit the league, when you hit the next level. Come on now, man. We know that, you know, say going from high school, the people that make it to a D1, you know, a big scholarship, but it's like 5%, right? And then like 1% of that 5% actually makes it to the league. So for instance, you take a guy who's a 3 or 4 year guy who doesn't have high projections, you know, probably may not make the league or can go play in China or whatever. You know, that's the thing is that there's a lot of people who their athletic career ends in college. So yes, I do think that, you know, while there's a certain small percentage that'll go on and get it and able to make the big paydays, there's a lot of mind, give their body or even good athletes college, you know, like remember Willis McGahee.
Well, yeah,
like,
I remember the Willis McGahee. That's a great example, man.
You know, I mean, and yes, he went on to have a pro career and had a few good seasons. And, you know, he got, I think he played over 10, 12 years in the league, but he never, he was never the same guy. The
same, right.
You know, never the same after that fucking leg break or whatever it was in the national championship.
His knee, I think he thinks something with his knee, man. Yeah. He blew his knee. I remember that.
It was gross, though.
I remember that.
It was gross. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. is, okay, you have, and we see a lot of guys that do play, you know, get good college career, something happens, they get injured, they can't make the next level. Okay, well, what was your time worth? You know what I mean? So I think while it's going to take a while to shape it out, I think it's a step in the right direction, and it sounds like we both agree on that.
I agree. Totally agree. It's a step in the right direction, man. I feel like it's only right, man. It's only right. You know what I mean? At least, you know what I mean? Like I said, not asking you pay them millions of dollars, just a nice incentive to, you know, let them know their hard work is appreciated, man. What they're doing for that university is appreciated.
And you know, and you have an interesting perspective because you did play college basketball. Right. So like what you said about the extra meals and shit, like, yeah, like I'm sure if you could get like, if you had the extra money to go get a late night Subway instead of having to eat cafe right, or something like that, that's a big fucking deal.
Eating
right?
Roman noodles and you know what I mean? Junk that's not going to nourish your body to perform at a high level. So something, man. You know what I mean? I think
that's great. Hey, don't you be dogging the Slammers either, man. Like you start talking about ramen.
Listen, man, Slammers are one of the best things ever invented, man. Slammers got me through some rough college nights, man.
I don't think regular people understand what we're saying with the Slammer. So let's break it down for them with some nuance, you know, as pros ourselves. So for those who don't know, the Slammer is, of course, talking about, like, you know, incarceration or jail. One of the most popular jailhouse fucking snacks is to get a thing of like a oodles of noodles or a cup of ramen. And then you put the ramen in, but then so you cook it up. But you also like take a bag of like Cheetos or Doritos. Mm-hmm. Shits up, sprinkle that in, and then if you got a couple extra bucks, you grab some like beef jerky or beef sticks, make little slices, bam, cook all that shit up, man. You got yourself a fucking meal, dog.
Talking about and it sticks. You know what I mean? You know that meal that just sticks to you. Once you eat it, you're like, ah. I'm telling you, man, Slammers got me through some rough college nights, man. I haven't had one since though.
Yeah, well, no shit, man. That's what I'm saying. Like you eat shit like that when you're a fucking poor college student or you're institutionalized. When you get out, you want to get real food. You
right,
know
right,
I mean?
Right. Yeah. So yeah.
But I think that's what we should our first fucking sponsorship. We should get in with the ramen noodles joint and be like, yeah. Since we were talking about Slammers, like we should make that the official meal of the site.
Right, right, right. I see these kids, you know, I work with kids a lot, man. I see them a lot. They all had the T-shirt, the ramen noodle T-shirts, man. Instant lunch, instant meals. It's crazy, man. if they only knew.
Well, that's right. If they only knew how many OGs went down that path.
Right.
But while we're joking around, I want to switch gears, talk about something serious right quick. The verdict just came out in this trial in Texas about Amber Geiger, the police officer who had the mistaken identity. She went into her neighbor's apartment, thought it was her own, ended up shooting and killing the man who lived there. Happened to be a black gentleman. So there was all this, you know, talk, and it was a spotlight event. She was found guilty on the charge, but there's always a silver lining. Was only given 10 years on her with a chance for parole at 5. So basically got the minimum, basically got a lifeline, if you will. So AJ, what do you think about, not only was it a white woman shooting and killing, but it was a white woman who's a police officer who has, they dug up some questionable comments in the past regarding race. What do you think about this situation and the current state of the culture with the police and the racial the touchiness when it comes to acts of violence with police and regular civilians?
Hold on, repeat that story again. I couldn't get all that story, man. I'm gonna make sure.
You can't.
Yeah, man, you got to repeat that. I'm trying to make sure I get all the information on that story again. I'm sorry, man.
Are you familiar with what I'm talking about, man? Are you familiar with what I'm talking about?
I heard about it. I haven't got all the details on it yet. I haven't got to get all the details on it.
Okay, yeah. The details are basically, this woman was an off-duty cop who lived in an apartment complex. I'm not quite sure what the mistaken thing was, but she accidentally went into her neighbor's apartment thinking it was her own. And when the gentleman who lived there came out, like from the back, she was startled, pulled her service weapon and shot and killed
him. Wow.
Yes. So this went round and round forever because, you know, like, you know, she's a police officer and this, that, their thing, and a white woman in Texas. And then it did go to trial. And at trial, you know, she admitted to killing him and that, you know, she admitted it was a case of mistake and whatever. But she was found guilty. So like Black Twitter and like, part, you know, Reddit and all that stuff, it was all that you saw. Finally, there was some justice in a situation like this. But then the sentencing was today and they gave her 10 years on a first degree murder charge. You know what I mean? So she got with the option of parole, possibility of parole in 5 years, which is basically the absolute minimum for a murder charge. So that's what I wanted your take on was, you know, where even though you might not know all the facts, but a situation with between like a white cop and a black civilian, you know, with violence, what's your take on kind of the culture of that or kind of the hot button issue? Well, and what do
I
think,
honestly, you know, I just think, you know, it's sad that, you know, as, you know, the black community, we can't really rely on the police task force, you know. You know, it's sad where just for a routine pullover, routine traffic stop, you know, your heart is racing, you know, beating through your throat because you don't know how that's going to be, man. And, you know, it's just sad it has to be that way. It's sad that, you know, my son's coming up. I got to teach him how, you know, when you're dealing with a cop, is yes, sir, no, sir. You do everything they say. Because why? Hey, you may not make it out of that traffic stop. And, you know, it's just sad. You know, all these innocent lives lost for no reason and nothing being done. It's just not right. It's not right at all. And it's just scary times that we're living in. And it's just sad that we can't trust the police like that.
And you bring up a great point because, I mean, our sons, AJ and I's sons are great friends and that, you know, they've known each other, played basketball together for the last 3 years. They're going to play basketball for many more years. And watching these kids grow up is one of the great things. But as AJ just pointed out, those are two different conversations we're going to have with our sons. You know, AJ telling Albert, you know, son, this is yes or no, sir. And it could be a lot. I don't want to scare you, but this could be life or death. Where Atticus, I'll have to, sir. But there's not that general worry, right? Like, I mean, how many videos I've been with people, other white people that get pulled over, and they're like, dude, what'd I do wrong, dude? Right. Like, just giving the cop the fucking, you know, the business. And then you see, like, an African-American do that, and they get fucking murdered. Right. You know? So, you know, we had an incident, and I believe that you met my neighbor, Tony. Mm-hmm. And Chris across the street, we had an incident last year in this neighborhood where Tony pulled out of his garage to go leave for work for the day. As he did, he went to hit his garage button to close it down. It didn't close. He saw it. He put it in reverse real slow to where he got in range, clicked it. It went down. He drove off. Woman who lived four doors down from us, who was the head of put a fucking post on the Facebook police and said there was a suspicious black man driving slow through the neighborhood, blah blah. Now this is her neighbor, so how does she not know that? Well, then his Tony's wife Tracy sees this and in a panic goes running to her house and like knocks on the door and says, hey, look, this is all a mistake, this story, police, and call it off, and can you please the Facebook page and dead that. And the lady's like, I don't problem is why it's such a big deal. It's just, she's like, it's just being cautious. It's like, motherfucker, like this could be a life or death situation,
right? For him, you know? Right? You know what I mean? It's just like I said. It's just only the wrong word, the wrong sudden movement, the wrong gesture, man. You just, it's just crazy, man. It's a sad time we're living in. You know,
absolutely.
And, you know, it's crazy when. From a young age, they teach us, you know, police are here to help you. You call the police if you need help. But at the same time, you know, that's not always true.
Absolutely.
So.
But, and that's reality, AJ, that a lot of people don't want to face up to, especially white people. Like, you hear, whenever you see an African-American, like, who was the dude, the kid that got killed by that chokehold in New York, like, and I think his last name was Gray, I'm not sure, but there's all these kind of, it's all the incidents that happen, you always hear white people saying, well, if they just would have complied, or blah, blah, blah. It's like, no, it's not that easy.
Right.
You know, it's not that easy at all. But I switch topics real quick, but I want to revisit something that we got on with volume one, because we're talking about the difference in black and white, kind of how we see things. You know, we talked about Tekashi 69. That's right, Rainbow Bright, y'all. And his snitching and rolling over on the Trey Nine Bloods that he was associated with. Now, see, so and I know in the black culture, there's a whole different outlook on the quote unquote snitching, okay, or telling, right? With white people, it's not really that big. There's no like quote unquote code or anything to follow. You know, people, I think it's more accepted in the white community to be like, oh, it's a plea deal or whatever. So it just doesn't seem like that big. Like, it's not that much of a hot button issue. But in the black community, I mean, there's nothing worse that you can be than a snitch, right?
Right. Right. But, you know, if you're caught, you're caught, man. You know, and people, you got to define what snitching is, man. So snitching, for example, all right, if me and you go do a crime and I get caught and I'm telling on you, it's you. That's snitching. All right. But if you go do a crime and blame it on me, right, but I'm not with you and I'm telling on you to defend myself, that's not snitching. All right. What Tekashi is doing is snitching. All right. Because he was all in the videos, throwing up gang signs and doing all the extra. He's snitching.
Oh, yeah. Put out a hit on Chief Keef or something like that, too. Right.
Say that.
Remember that Chicago rapper Chief Keef or whatever? I guess Tekashi had co-signed or paid for a potential hit on him. And that came out.
Right. Too. Right. You know what I mean? You're involved, affiliated, doing all this mess. You're snitching, all right?
Now, I got to tell you, and this is his nickname is Famous, but my cousin, who I was raised in the same house, so we're considered like brothers, my cousin Bob, I call him Canary Bob, because right. That motherfucker sings, right. Man. Whenever he got caught as a kid, well, who you with? He's like, I'm with Finley. He just give me up. He roll on me. Man, like, I did so much community service because fucking Canary Bob fucking sung like a bird. And the funny thing was, it was like, you know, looking back at it now, it's funny as shit, right. Because like, I could understand why he was giving up my name and shit. But at the same, when I was younger, I was like, dude, like, why you keep telling, you know, right. Like, what the fuck? So on a smaller scale, but like I said, it was never anything. I mean, I did community service and I did a couple fucking weekends and shit, right. You know, growing up. But this shit with Tekashi, he's saying, you know, all this shit, he's giving up everybody he's with, and then fucking these plea deals, and then he's saying that he's going to refuse witness protection. That's the thing, is that people, and maybe a younger generation, it really won't matter, but the people that he's fucking rolling on are fucking legit. I mean, there's legit killers in that group, man, and that boy not going into witness protection, I don't think it's gonna work out for him.
Man, I think it's something a lot deeper, man. I think it's some type of conspiracy to it. Maybe, you know what I mean? He was with the government the whole time, man. And his one job was to do what he did, man. You know what I mean?
Could be.
Pay his way into a gang, infiltrate that gang, and boom. Here we are today. I think it's one of those things, man.
Like conspiracy.
I don't know, man. It just makes sense, man. You just never know with the government, man. You just never know.
Oh, shit, no.
You just never know.
Shit, no. That's the last fucking people you trust, right there, is the government.
You just never know, man. I can see that, man. I can just see that.
Well, didn't they remember at the end of the 90s, early 2000s, as hip hop was blowing big? Like the word got out about the hip hop task force being
right. 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 Yep.
Yeah, that's documented shit.
That's
man.
Documented these stuff, fucking, man. Right.
Yep. these feds would be getting in with rappers and their entourages, and they, you know, be trying to take these certain rappers down or trying to catch them on a charge. I mean, that's not conspiracy. That's fucking real. But that's what I'm saying. At the time before it was confirmed, people are like, oh man, that's paranoid conspiracy talk. And then you find out all these years later, nah, motherfucker, that was real.
It was real. You know what I mean? They listening, going off stories told in rap songs. And you know what I mean? What's the guy name? I can't think of the guy, man. He had a hot song maybe 4 years ago. God, I can't think of him. He's from New York, man. I cannot think of his name.
I thought you were going to make it easy representing them. Alphabet Boys got us under surveillance.
They got him, man. He's in court. I can't think of his name, man. I don't know why. It'll come to me, man. But yeah.
But what was the story? I'm sure.
Well, you know, from a famous song he had, you know, he saying some lyrics of some things that happened in the street. And boom, now he's in court going through trial and you know, spending some time in jail. I wish I knew that song. It was real hot. It was a real famous song, man. About four years ago, man. God, I can't think of his name, man.
Now, we'll
say Bobby Smurder. Was that it? I don't know, man.
Yeah, maybe. You know,
I don't know. It'll come to me.
But you think about, remember that. Man, I don't remember. I think it was called like the Ghetto Quran or something like that, where that's what sparked that initial beef with Murder Inc., so to speak, or who was behind Murder Inc., because 50 told like a street tale, you know, but it had a lot of specific information about specific things in, you know, Southside Jamaica, Queens, right up there. And that was the stuff that people, like the real heads behind the fronts were like, the guys who were really fun in the shit, the guys who were real street dudes were like, it ain't cool 50 airing out all this biz. And word is that played into him getting hit up like he did.
Right.
Catching all the
mm-hmm. So, yeah. I remember that time, man. Like I said, it's real street beef spilling over into the rap game, man. So, yep. The hip hop Alphabet Dude. Boys. Yep.
Alphabet Boys got us on the
scene. Mm-hmm.
But you could get the beef DVDs. Oh man, those are my favorite.
The beef DVDs?
You ever watch any?
I watched a few of them. I remember the very first one.
Those were awesome.
Awesome. They're good.
They take like hip hop beefs like T.I. and Little Flip, and they tell the backstory to it. They'd interview everybody, then like they even
T.I. ran a Little Flip out of Dodge, man.
Hell yeah, T.I. went to Cloverland like wanting to scrap him.
Right, he ran him out of Dodge.
But that's the thing is, like, you look at a guy. Yeah, I think those Alphabet Boys still on our shit because now we're talking about pizza and they're clipping us. But what I was saying is, the first time that I had Giordano's here in India, I mean. It was at Keystone at the Crossing. I sat down. It's like a 45-minute wait for your pizza to come out. But, man, you have one, maybe two pieces of that shit, and you take the rest home. Woo!
Right. Yeah, it fills you up, man. It fills you up, and it's flavorful, too, man. So, yeah, I agree with you on that. Nothing like the deep dish Chicago pizza.
Well, I'm telling you, and I know that don't fuck with pies, but I will say this. I recently, at 40 years old and a lifetime pizza lover, recently found a brand new jam in the frozen section. Now, you know, I used to dig on Tombstone or some Red Barons. I get you there, but I made the switch over to Jack's somewhat recently, and Jack's is a pretty good pizza, but Jack's has these things called pizza fries, and it's basically like a cheese stick garlic bread type thing, and I'm telling you, like, I bought one. I probably in the 2 months since, man, I probably bought 15 of those shits, bro. They are legit.
Jack's
pizza fries. Pizza. Check them out. Cause it looks like a regular pizza. Uh-huh. There's just no tomato sauce, and it's like garlic and cheese.
Pizza fries.
That's what it's called, but it actually looks like a regular pizza.
Oh wow!
And what was Cordsville, so we can shout it out one more time.
The spot, the Italian spot.
Yeah. Yeah, what's
The
it called?
Italian spot I was saying?
Yeah, what's it called?
Kenzie's, man. We got to go there, man. We got to go there. They do a lunch buffet. I think it's about $8, all you can eat, man. And you know they serve more than just pizzas, so I think that'd be a good spot, man. We could hit up one time, man. Maybe record there, man.
Absolutely. That'll be our next goal. We'll hit
We
it this
can hit it,
weekend.
man. We can hit it.
Let's do it. All right, so we're going to segue into our last topic on this on volume two here of The Cipher with your boy Dwayne Finley, co-host AJ Gooden. News, there was a lot of news a couple weeks ago that Disney and Sony had a falling out that was pulling Spider-Man out of the Marvel Cinematic
No.
Universe. Well, news came out yesterday that they've reached a deal, and Sony and Disney are cool again with Spider-Man. Spider-Man is back in the
Hold on,
MCU.
man. Hold
So,
on. Why would that ever be an issue?
well, because Sony owned the rights to Spider-Man.
Oh, okay.
So Marvel, before they created Marvel
Right.
Studios, they sold off a bunch of their cinematic properties studios. So Spider-Man, Sony got Spider-Man, Fox got Fantastic Four and the X-Men, and that's why so far in the MCU we haven't seen like X-Men or Fantastic Four, which are coming. Disney bought Fox, but that's why it was such a big deal during Civil War when they introduced Spider-Man. So the deal was Sony owns it. Sony owns the character. The movie, blah, blah, had our Disney had a certain percent that of value that them. When contracts came up, Disney tried to get more and more and more in a greedy fucking move and try to get more
Right.
money. So Sony did, fuck it, we're taking him back. Well, they've since like reconciled, and now Spider-Man is back in the MCU. But I mean, could you imagine after what we went through with the whole build-up with the Infinity War and Infinity Saga? Could you imagine going forward in the MCU and not having Spider-Man?
Right. You gotta have Spider-Man, man. You have to have
Yes.
Spider-Man. What is the Avengers without Spider-Man? I think Spider-Man might be the most
Absolutely.
beloved character out of all of the Avengers, really. You know what I mean? You gotta have Spider-Man. You gotta have.
Especially if after you've lost Iron Man, after Tony Stark and Robert Downey Jr., after they make that
Right.
exit, you need somebody else that people can grab onto. That was definitely Spider-Man. Sam?
Right, I totally understand what you're saying, man. You gotta have him there. I'm glad they came to an agreement because you can't go on without Spider-Man. You can't.
No, sir. The only thing interesting that would have happened if it would have played out, but it, since they were separate, with the Venom movie with Tom Hardy playing Venom, even though that's Spider-Man's one of Spider-Man's top villains, they could not, mention Spider-Man in that movie because they didn't have the fucking rights to do so. So thought of now that when when Sony took him back, it's like, cool, you can have Spider-Man, Venom, Carnage, those in the same thing. But now you can't have that because
Right.
but I think that, dude, any Marvel property, like, fucking bring those guys in. Bring, Daredevil from Netflix, bring Tom. Just get all that shit together,
Right. And make it something
It's
great.
just gonna make, yeah, absolutely. Instead of trying to jump around and fucking reboot things, like, dude, like, for instance, they're doing another Batman. Ben Affleck got released wherever they brought in the Twilight dude, Robert Pattinson. Dude, we've been watching Batman movies for 30 some years. And they still feel tell that motherfucker's origin story. Like, come on. We all know by now that his parents got shot outside that theater. He saw him get
Right.
killed. He fucking fell down the well. All that shit. Like, we know that. You don't have to tell us again and again and again.
Right. I'll know out of all that. I'm ready for Black Panther too, man. I need another Black Panther out here. I need
Absolutely.
that, man. I need that.
Absolutely.
I'm feeling that energy in 2020, man. Another Black Panther too, man. Blowing it up. Question though, do they bring Killmonger back?
This dude, that was one of the biggest missteps that they played with the first.
You think killing off Killmonger?
Killmonger was,
I think
yes,
so
man.
too,
He
man.
was such a
I think those two together be badass, man.
absolutely. And he's such a strong character is played so well by Jordan that you don't have to offer, right? You keep him.
Nope. You don't. You know what I mean? Nope. It's something where, you know what I mean? He's, because it's obviously, you know, in life, you know, people act out when they're missing something. That's what Killmonger was going through. You understand what I'm saying? Then he finally got to that place, and you know what I mean? And why not fill that void in his life, man?
Absolutely.
Why not fill that void in his life? Why not?
Well, think about this. How much badass would that have been in the event, and then if Killmonger's up in that shit fighting Thanos? That'd have been fucking
dope.
That'd
have been dope. You know? Right. Or that scene, a scene where, you know what I mean? Yeah, that'd have been so dope. So dope.
Yep. Well, and that's what I mean. So Black Panther comes out and does very well. You know, like AJ and I agree they should have kept Killmonger, but you know, but now they'll move on, and Black Panther's gone through the fucking dusting, and he came
right
in the end game. So now, just like with Iron Man going away and Captain America going away, and see, that's what I'm saying. It's like every time we get a little hot on here, we get them Alphabet Boys got us under surveillance. They clip us, and we get some kind of technical difficulties. About that, Doc.
The Fed's taking picture of me, man, as DJ Drama would say. The Fed's taking pictures.
Snapshots.
They tapped my phone. That's still in the basement.
I was going to make one more point before I move on, and that was like you know, we talk about Tekashi and how like he looks like a deer in the headlights, but a dude like Flip, like T.I., T.I. went down and did his time for gun charges, but T.I. isn't that big. Right. You can tell T.I. is a real dude. Like, T.I. will throw him, you know?
So
he didn't roll, you know? He didn't snitch. Right.
Hey, everybody's not cut differently, man. Everyone's cut differently.
Absolutely. The reals from the fakes. And speaking of
not
reals,
for everybody, fakes, man. That life isn't for everybody.
No, sir. But I'll tell you what life is for everybody. That's that pizza life, dog. And we're going to head into this new segment. And basically, the premise is this. AJ and I are both hardcore pizza dudes.
I love
dudes.
Pizza, and, man. And I love a good pie,
we're gonna
man.
Touch on this right quick. What's your go-to? What's your go-to frozen pizza?
Frozen? I'm going to be honest.
Yeah, let's start
I'm going to be honest, Dwayne. I cannot stand frozen pizza, man.
What the fuck, man?
No,
come on.
You will never see any frozen pizzas in my freezer ever.
Oh.
Never.
All right, what's your go-to order, though? That where is your, in your opinion, the best spot in Indianapolis to get a pie?
The best spot in town. I recently came across a place. And if you drive by it, it looks like a damn hole in the wall, called Kinsey's. Kinsey's Italians. All right. It's over in McCoorsville. Man, that's all I got to say. I love, man, that might be my favorite pizza spot right there. Yeah, I love it. It's the big, it got the big New York style, the large pieces. You can fold them, man. And it's just great, man. The dough, the cheese, the sauce. I love it, man. I love it.
But don't you get me started on this New York shit, because I'll tell you this. Like, I've been in New York plenty of times, pizza plenty of times. New York pizza cannot touch Chicago-style.
It cannot touch. I agree with you on that. I agree with you. This Chicago-style deep dish, man, is awesome, man. It's life. It's life.
Get that Giordano's with 6 pounds of cheese on
man,
that
man, it's life, man.
But I have, look at, you're getting all hot and bothered, man.
I'm thinking about it now, man. Right. I'm catching the cold sweats, man. It's calling my name.
You're like, pussy don't even excite you as much as pizza anymore. You know what I'm saying? Like, pussy's cool. Hey, pussy's always going to be cool. But then you're like, but that's fucking GR.
Right.
Dude, that, oh, man, I remember the first time I had, and they got 2 Giordano's, as far as I know, only. And there you go, folks. This is the second episode of The Cypher. Now, this is the coolest shit, man, is this show is fully interactive. So by next week, we'll have a Twitter account, we'll have an IG account, a Facebook page, because we want y'all's thoughts. We want you to let us know how we're doing. If the topic you definitely want to get the doctor's take on, you can leave it on one of the social medias, but we'll have that up and rolling next week. So for this week, it's your boy did damn thing, and it's going to be a beautiful process of riding this out and taking this journey with my co-host. So tell him a little something, Doc, and then we'll sign off.
Tell him a little something, Doc. Oh, you just put me on the spot like that.
Yeah, man. Let him know what you feel, Doc.
Man, you know what? I'm feeling great. I'm thankful for this right here, this platform, this opportunity, man. I'm thankful to, you know, God. God led you to my life, Dwayne. He led you to my life.
Sure did.
We're going to go on and do great things, man. We're going to do something beautiful. Hey, we're going to laugh together. We're going to cry together. We may argue together, but hey, it's all love at the end of the day. It's all love.
And that's what brought us to here. I'm telling you, real talk. We found each other because our AJ's a great basketball coach, and even how Atticus got to AJ is one of those, you know,
right.
And here we are. So AJ and I start talking about this, that we wanted to do something, and that now we're finally here. We have this platform, and you know, you guys are gonna hear us. This is how we talk in real life. We're just. We agree on a lot of shit right. We don't agree on, but it's all fun and all love. So check us out. We're going to sign off on this one. We'll be back next week with some more hot shit.
Some more high fire. It's the Cypher. Chill.
The Cypher.